It's time for Inside Churchill Downs. Now, here are your hosts, John Asher, Darren Rogers, and Kevin Kirstein.
It's summertime, 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 but we are here, all three, the trifecta hosts here for Inside Churchill Downs for this Friday evening. But it's a special Friday in the summertime, because, and that's going to be the tone of what we talk about here for the next 60 minutes, because real summertime racing, the glamour meets of the year are underway. We're talking about Del Mar, which opened on Wednesday in Southern California, and Saratoga, which opened today in upstate New York. Across the way is Darren Rogers. Next to me is, celebrating a very, very special day, Kevin Kirstein. And I'm John Asher. Thanks for being with us on Inside Churchill Downs. And before we do anything, we have to talk about
opening day Saratoga.
No, the youngest member of our team, who I'm surprised, knowing him and knowing how much he loves thoroughbred racing, that he does not celebrate his birthday on the first day of the year. I would, like every other thoroughbred, I would expect him to do so on January 1st. But today is actually the birthday of Kevin Kirstein.
Happy birthday, KK.
Thank
KK.
You. Appreciate that. I celebrated on the opening day of Saratoga, so a little bit better than January 1st, I'd say.
There are worse ways to start it than that. Mm-hmm. How often does it fall like that?
It hasn't in the last couple of years, but you know what? Today's a special day, and knock on wood, this pick five, hopefully I can take it down.
Well, that's right. He's going to be a little distracted.
I'll be rooting it on during our first guest.
Yes, he is alive in the pick five.
As every birthday boy should be.
Yeah. To multiple horses in the nightcap at Saratoga, so good luck to KK. Big show today. It should be a fun show. We're going to check in with our old friend, the bloodstock agent and private clocker, Gary Young. He's always entertaining, and he is camped out at Del Mar for the season. And so we'll get his thoughts on some...
Got a couple of days under his belt now.
So yeah, we'll get some young horses we can gamble on over the course of the meet and get us some thoughts on different things.
It's a shame we can't play the voicemail that he left you on the phone in the wintertime about Justify.
Well, that's true.
We'll stick with the hits. Play one of the greatest.
Nothing but the hits, you know. And then second half of the show, we'll check in with Steve Bick of At the Races with Steve Bick. It's on Monday through Fridays on Sirius XM, and Steve is essentially the mayor of Saratoga. I mean,
at this moment, as Saratoga, I guess, got one race to go probably on the day. But he's
we're 12 minutes to post.
Not that KK's checking.
Steve will watch that last race, as will KK. But unlike KK, Steve will undergo a wardrobe change before he comes to talk to us on the show. There's no one more nattily dressed, no sartorially perfect than Steve is on any day of the year, but especially at Saratoga.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. We need to pull the race up live when the Saratoga race goes off. This will be fabulous.
Yeah. Grab the staff.
Nothing can go wrong here.
No pressure. We'll sing happy birthday.
Then you have to tell the listeners who you're live to.
Okay.
So we'll get to that in a second. But until that race is going off, let's get caught up on some quick news and notes before we go to the first guest. And we mentioned on the show last week that Ellis Park could be sold, and that was indeed the case. On Tuesday, it was announced that Ron Geary sold his 70% stake in the track to Saratoga Casino and Hospitality Group. That's the same group that runs the harness track up there in Saratoga, and they already own the other 30% since 2012. So should be, business as usual.
Pretty seamless, I would think.
Just so the Ellis relish remains the same.
Yeah, that's mission number one
for
KK. Multiple grade one winning three-year-old Bolt de Oro has been transferred to Steve Asmussen's barn, and he arrived already. He's already up there at Saratoga. He did spend some R&R at owner Mick Ruiz's Lexington farm, and the announcement came from Spendthrift Farm. They do not own any of the racing rights to the colt. But they will likely stand him. They will stand him. They own 50% of his breeding rights. So whenever he's done being retired, I don't think we have any race picked out yet. But a little surprised to see Mick Ruiz
step aside.
It might have been a little breeding.
I would join you in that read.
That
it was breeding related. But the horses.
He's a good horse.
Wonderful 2-year-old campaign. A little star crossed early in the year, getting a big start as a 3-year-old. ran well coming into the Derby. Of course, things didn't go well in the Derby, and then got just vaporized in a sizzling pace in the Met Mile against Older. But still plenty of time for him to get it together and have a terrific three-year-old campaign.
And Mick still owns this horse, too. It's not mm-hmm. like he gave up the ownership. Mm-hmm. And if you notice throughout the latter part of the Churchill Spring Meet, Mick has been putting some of the horses in his assistant trainer's name, so maybe he is just getting away from the training side of the business a little bit. Not sure. He declined to comment on the story on this one. But, you know, interesting move to Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen.
Yeah, that was purely our speculation. I'm sure we're all reading it like that. And, again,
reading tea leaves from time to time.
You look at Steve Asmussen. And look at the horses that he has picked up in progress during three-year-old campaigns.
Rachel Alexandra.
That would be one.
Curlin.
That would be another I would come up with. So
both were horses of the year.
There's a reason to think there could be success there. But we'll see if Steve will get him in there, get under the hood, and see what happens in the remaining 6 months of the year.
In Derby prep news, the 2019 Rebel Stakes, a prep for the Arkansas Derby, had its purse raised to $1 million. So we got a pair of $1 million races to chase next winter at Oaklawn Park.
Which means it's not going to affect Bob Baffert. He's going to have something there anyway, as Bob is always there with something from California to Oaklawn. But it's congratulations to Oaklawn.
Yeah.
Taking the steps they've taken. You know, they started off with the historical racing some years back, and that's been a boon to them there, and just continues to grow. So,
and from what we understand, the historical racing machines over at Poplar Level Road should be opening soon, right around, you know, sometime in September, maybe a little earlier,
I think.
Yeah. So right around the corner, that'll be nothing but help for Kentucky racing. We're tired of offering condolences, but let's offer our condolences to the family and friends of Hall of Fame jockey Manny Yakaza. He died Monday after a brief illness. He was 80 years old, one of the leading pioneers of Latin riders here in North America, rode in the mid-50s till about 71. I think he made a comeback in 83 it was. But, John, I know he didn't have success in the Derby, but what a Hall of Fame career.
Had a runner-up finish in the Derby, and he won the Kentucky Oaks, I think, four times. Mm-hmm. Three of them for Woody Stevens, and rode the great Dark Mirage, who was a terrific winner of the Kentucky Oaks. Manny Yakaza was a great rider and a tough son of a gun. I mean, when you were coming down the stretch, you did not want to try to be in a situation where you outrode Manny Yakaza. Mm-hmm. He would physically pick him up and carry him home. Just a wonderful rider, and again, the Derby, a little bit of a hole on the resume, but he did so many other amazing things in his career and rode so many wonderful horses, put up so many wonderful rides. A real loss to us in thoroughbred racing, especially those who remember him in his heyday, either grew up on him or were fans through the years. Manny Yakaza was special.
Yeah, a lot of great things have been mentioned about him in recent days. He was before my time. I was born in 71, mm-hmm. but you see his name in the history books. Dark Mirage, as you said, and you know, won the Belmont a number of times. What a fabulous rider! I guess we're going to go to Nick's having a conversation with Gary Young on the phone. Let's see if
I wonder if they're talking about Nick's hot dog contest from the other day. I mean, Lord knows what they're talking about.
We do need a recount. Can we offer wagering over at Churchill Downs on Nick's hot dog eating contest?
I don't know. We'll have to check on the past performance information.
Nick, are you happy? What does Gary need us to call back?
Yeah, he needs about five more minutes.
You know what? He's alive in the pick five at Saratoga.
Because we're probably 5 minutes to post.
I was about to say, we can take the race and then,
is it
and
ready?
Then get him on. We got about, according to Twin Spires.
Look,
TV,
you just, when they break, no, yeah, when they yeah. break from the gate, you just pop it up and we'll be good. We'll cool. preface it. But
right. Sounds good.
Some other notes. Let's talk.
Well, we're talking about loss. I want to bring up another loss in thoroughbred racing, and that's Pam Blatt-Smurf, who worked with the Breeders' Cup for years in the Breeders' Cup. Again, you know, you have to go back that far for the Breeders' Cup not to be in existence. I mean, it's about 40 years in, but Pam was a key liaison with horsemen around the world, and she passed last week in Lexington, and a memorial service is planned for her next week. But she was on the scene for the Breeders' Cups here at Churchill Downs. And, again, I think anybody who tells you knows anything about the has been a part of the growth, the formation, the growth of the Breeders' Cup, or anyone who's had a relationship with the Cup over the years had a relationship and worked in some way with Pam. So, again, she was with us for many runnings there at Churchill Downs, and again, she passed last week. So our thoughts and prayers go to her family and all of her friends in thoroughbred racing. So many people knew her in thoroughbred racing, directly connected to the sport and via the Breeders' Cup and just her work in the industry. So a long and very dignified career with the Breeders' Cup. And, again, our thoughts and prayers go to her family.
Yeah, it was I worked with Pam a number of times. She held down the fort with the Breeders' Cup. Yep. And she was the queen. I mean, she used to. I remember her on her stool,
in the
winner circle on those Breeders' Cup events, and that, you know, those were early on. How about last weekend, Indiana Derby, big victory. I'm trying to remember the horse's name, so it wasn't that big. But what it was begins with the letter A.
We'll talk about the big weekend too at Indiana. I think Florent Giroux had a couple of stakes wins. Brad's Cox had a couple of stakes wins up there. Brad Cox just winning everything all around the country, and it was a great win from Axelrod in the Indiana
Derby.
Thank
you. I knew it began with the letter A.
Yeah.
See, it's like a riddle. I have the track announcer's mind. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. My mind, once a race has been run, it's gone.
Yeah.
I'm on to the next one. But Axelrod was big.
Owned by Mick Ruiz's Slam Dunk, or not Mick Ruiz's, Mick Cronin's Slam Dunk Racing. So any of the Cincinnati basketball fans out there, Axelrod is a...
I did not realize that. Nice win.
Slam Dunk, yeah.
Nice victory.
And the exact in there, for those of you who had it, was only $113, but, you know, I may have whiffed on that a little bit. I was really need a title ready to run second in that race. But a big weekend at Indiana Grand last weekend.
Yes, it was. And Brad Cox won a number of races up there. He was red hot. And he's got a big weekend on tap on Sunday with grade one multiple winner, Monomoy Girl, the long jeans Kentucky Oaks winner. With a big test, John. I know that you're really excited about it.
I think it is a big test. She's obviously done everything right. Only one loss in her career. That suffered on her home track at Churchill Downs last fall. But a tremendous run in the Kentucky Oaks. That has been validated by the runner-up, Wonder Godot, who came back and beat the boys in the Queen's Plate in Canada. But I think a strong, strong test coming up Sunday in the coaching club, American Oaks at Saratoga, in that she faces the filly that ran third to her on Kentucky Oaks Day, didn't have the best of trips, but it has changed hands, and amazingly has ended up in the barn of
Steve Asmussen.
And that's
shocker.
Midnight Bizou, who ran so well over the winter in California, came in as a major contender for the Kentucky Oaks. Again, didn't get out of the gate the best, and was flying down the lane, just didn't have... did not have time to catch up to the leaders there, but ran a terrific race on the day. Has changed barns since then, and I'll be very intrigued to see her when she makes this race for Asperson. So, you know, I think a big showdown between those two major participants in the Kentucky Oaks. Obviously, Monomoy Girl's the leader in the division right now, no question about that. But still a long time to go and a lot of things to happen. And if Midnight Bizou is on top of her game, one would think she'd be fairly tough in there. So that race will be a lot of fun.
And if you come out to Churchill on Sunday and you're out there wagering, there's a losing ticket promotion that you can drop in your losing ticket with the back of your name on it in the TSC Elite Gold Room out there. And they're giving away a framed photo of Monomoy Girl. So be sure to check out that on Sunday at Churchill Downs.
Okay, so before we get and try to reconnect with Gary Young, we've got horses on their way to the gate for the last race at Saratoga.
So what do you think the number was at Saratoga today for attendance up there?
Oh, I couldn't even begin to guess.
I mean,
30 plus thousand.
However many will fit. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, they run, you know.
Had a beautiful day up there.
Oh, man, absolutely beautiful day. But
yeah. It is an amazing place.
This this last race is a $40,000 claimer with a field of 11 or 10 going to post after some late scratches. Now, KK, you're alive to how many horses?
I'm alive to four here.
Four horses. Which numbers?
Number 2, Dark Energy. Number 7, Shamson. Number 8, County Court. And number 11, Hello Holiday. So hopefully we can get a little birthday cash.
Well, looking at the odds right now, the 8-horse County Court with Dylan Davis aboard for Shug McGahee is the mild 5-2 favorite. Dark Energy back down on the morning line from 10-1 to 5-1 with Kendrick Carmouche up for Cherie DeVoe, the former assistant for Chad Brown. And I know the horses are on the way to the gate. Who are the other? Shazam? Shamsan?
Shamsan. Who's
Rajiv Marah.
Taking the blinkers off. That's the largest payday. And then Hello Holiday for Phil Serpy and Luis Saez.
Well, Shamsan's 17-1. So we have live action now.
For those of you who are
at Saratoga,
who may be participating via your telephone or at home, we're giving you bonus coverage today on Inside Churchill.
Yeah, they're loading the final horses
the
in here.
The last from Saratoga and the hopes and dreams of the birthday boy.
Nick, it's not too late to get down on twinspires.com. Of course, your presenting sponsor of Inside Churchill Downs, and you can sign up your account now. They have some tremendous promotions going on throughout the summer.
Put some on Joe's Bolt Cat.
Maybe we'll not get it done in time for this race, but here we go.
All right, here we go. Good luck, Eric.
Larry Colmus with the call from Saratoga.
Goes in. They're all in line. They're off. It was a clean beginning as Rockin' Joe goes out to the early lead. Foolish Ghost, Hello Holiday on the far outside. These three with the most early foot, and behind them is Lusitano. And then it's Double Deep away running in fifth by another 3. Dark Energy, sixth early on. A good 8 lengths off the lead as they separate themselves early on. Then it's Joe's Bold Cat, Shamsan to the outside, followed by Cape Angel. And the trailer is County Court. The leader is Foolish Ghost, a 55-1 long shot who zipped through a 22.8 opening quarter mile. Hello Holiday pressing this hard pace on the outside. Rockin' Joe is third near the rail. Lusitano follows in fourth. Double Deep is fifth. And then it's Dark Energy in sixth, about 6 lengths from the front, 3 lengths clear of Joe's Bold Cat. Then it's Cape Angel to the inside, Shamsan, and County Court is last with this hot pace in front of them. Although they've slowed things down a bit up front, 47.27 was the half mile for Foolish Ghost and Mike Luzzi, who lead it by 3/4 of a length at 55-1 moving into the far turn. Hello Holiday on the outside is second. And now taking third is Dark Energy, who's getting going. Dark Energy's within 2 lengths of the lead. Double Deep is also on the charge. Then it's Rockin' Joe, followed by Lusitano. Joe's Bold Cat is sent up on the far outside. Cape Angel is in behind horses, needs some running room. County Court swings up outside. They're into the stretch. Here comes Dark Energy. Dark Energy forging to the front with a furlong to run. Joe's Bold Cat on the far outside trying to finish well. Then it's Foolish Ghost toward the inside. Lusitano is next. Late speed from Cape Angel down the center, and Cape Angel's coming after Dark Energy, and Cape Angel runs by on the wire to win. Dark Energy was second, Joe's Bold Cat was third, and Lusitano fourth in 142 flat.
And ladies and gentlemen, you just can picture the face of Kevin Kirstein. Man, Dark Energy run down late by Joe Sharp. Angel at I don't know what the final odds were.
9-ish to 1.
But
thank goodness Gary Young
boy.
And can give me a winner from Del Mar.
Yeah, let's get to Gary Young. We just had Heartbreak on the air, friend. How are you?
And he had a birthday too, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's not good.
It's really not. You know,
they just showed the replay. That horse made up 5 lengths on the last eighth of a mile on KK. That's right.
It's not fair.
I've never seen a Joe Sharp trained horse do that. I mean, it happens very rarely, <Yeah, no. laughs> all the time. So how is the Seaside Oval so far? We've got the first of, what do we got? We're going all the way through Labor Day, first 2 races under the belt, first 2 days. And, I mean, I know for you it's a special time of year. How many years have you been going down there?
This is my 37th year, and McAnally's got me doubled in Renner. That's really unbelievable. I came here for the first time in 1981. There were 3 places to eat. Bullies, which is now being redone, the Brigantine, and Roberto's. And well, those were about the only three places to eat.
I'll say this, two of three ain't bad.
No, like Meatloaf says, two out of three ain't bad.
I like that year, Gary. That's it's John. I like that year. It was that was my first Kentucky Derby in '81. So good thing.
You know,
good things happened in '81.
That was that Ghetto del Sol?
Pleasant Colony.
That was Pleasant Colony.
Yeah. Pleasant Colony. Well, yeah.
Actually, I'll take it back. My first Churchill meet was '81. My first Derby actually was '82. But my first fall meet at Churchill '81 was my first at Churchill Downs.
Wow.
You know, I mean, there was pretty much hardly anything east of the freeway when I got here. And hindsight would have told you that as popular and as nice a climate that they were just going to run out of places to build and that they would have to start building over there. And at that time, the real estate had been probably bought for next to nothing. And now it's probably worth a whole lot more than next to nothing, if you know what I mean. But, you know.
When you and I first met, we used to go to a top this little dirt strip on Via de la Valle, which overlooked the racetrack, and you used to go up there for the last race of the day with your binoculars and watch because you wanted to beat the traffic getting out of there. And now I believe that's where Mike Pagram's condo estate and others are now planted.
And we used to watch the last of Santa Anita from Clocker's Corner so we could beat the traffic out of there. I mean, it was that was a long time ago. Yeah. It's still a nice place, and I'd still like to retire here one day, but I better buy some good horses, and I better hit some pick sixes because it's not cheap down here, but it sure is from a climate and quality of life standpoint, from a year-round basis, it's awful nice. And, you know, it's nice to be down here. This is the kind of time of year when the two-year-olds, probably, you know, in their respective places, be it Saratoga or Del Mar or you guys, before you guys closed, I mean, you had some very impressive two-year-old winners at Churchill, but mm-hmm. This is there's nothing quite like young talent, and these places definitely have it this time of year.
And Gary Young is you know, known to our listeners as the guy who called the shot on American Pharoah and Justify before they won their derbies, and kudos to that. I know you sent me a text message a couple of weeks ago that Bob Baffert has a new toy to play with, and his name is Roadster. What can you tell us about Roadster?
Well, he's by probably arguably the hottest stud in the game in quality road, and good-looking gray horse. Mike worked him the other day out of the gate. He broke well. He let another horse go out in front of him, and when Mike bent over on him, he was he just got a really good acceleration, and he looked up at me on his way back to the barn, and his eyes were about as big as silver dollars, and you know, and he should know a good horse when he sits on one. So yeah, it was. I mean, right now, and there are other good two-year-olds around, but from what I'm seeing, the white-haired man and the man with the black Nikes, Baffert and Hollenberger, have an abundance of good two-year-olds this year.
The man with the black Nikes.
Oh, when he shows up with dress shoes, you know it's a go, but he's totally capable. Totally capable of winning when he comes marching in there with those black Nikes. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I'm just having the visual of Jerry Hollendorfer. Now what's Jerry? Got to be closing in on 70 now.
He is, and when he's standing over at that on the bleachers at the 5/8 pole, I can't tell if he's standing up or sitting down. But he's looking at that.
Is he wearing black socks with the black Nikes? That's the question.
No, he goes with the white socks and the blue, and the and the and the Arabian sunglasses. Yeah. You know, he does, but he, you know, he's got some good 2-year-olds.
Well, how good was the filly on Wednesday on opening day, Brill?
You know, I mean, obviously she wasn't a secret because she was well bet all the way through, and she was, you know, I kind of figured she might not make the lead. I didn't know she'd be back as far as she would, and I mean, the filly that was in front of her coming into the stretch was liver than your average 25-1 shot,
mm-hmm.
but she ran her down. She ran her down in a big way. She ran her down like 7/8 will be a lot better for her than 5.5, and 7/8 will be her next race, barring anything unforeseen in the Del Mar debutante. And, you know, Pharaoh's sister that Baffert's got is good, and Bob's got an orb filly down there that Donato and him paid $800,000 for out of the sale at Gulfstream earlier this year that's training good. But the short man with the black Nikes has got the one to beat right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, who's tell us about Instagram.
Instagram, very nice Into Mischief horse. By the way, the aforementioned man with the black Nikes runs another Into Mischief horse tomorrow that named horse Rowayton or something in the 2-year-old race here tomorrow. And you probably won't need a wheelbarrow to take the money home from the mutual windows on the horse, but this one trains as good as Instagram.
Okay, that's good to know.
But Instagram got ready, and, you know, it was one of those things where he got ready. It's during Los Alamitos, and it kind of came up a pretty tough race, nothing against Los Alamitos, but it kind of, with Del Mar on the horizon, kind of came up a pretty tough race, and they were kind of lined up across the stretch coming into the across the track coming into the stretch, and when Drayden pushed the button, it wasn't a close race, and Instagram, just what a terrific sire Into Mischief has became. I mean, he just keeps firing one after another. I mean, this one definitely looks like he's in the mix too. I mean, so yeah.
Have there been any other? And by the way, you mentioned the half sister to American Pharaoh. That's a filly that's unraced, I believe, by the name of Chasing Yesterday, right?
Great name, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
I guess that fits when your brother wins the first Triple Crown in 37 years that you are kind of chasing yesterday, isn't it? She had a very solid gate work here the other day, and I would anticipate her to hit the entry soon. I mean, her and the orb filly that is named Dear Vu or something, I believe, they worked out of the gate the same day. They didn't work together, but they both worked good. Bob usually doesn't run two of his aces against each other, but we'll let him figure out where to run them because he's pretty good at that. But they're definitely okay. They're definitely okay. So
now we got some action tonight. They of course, we love it out here in Kentucky. The 4 o'clock Fridays out west because it's 7 o'clock Eastern, and we've got primetime entertainment on a Friday night. But
you go right from the last at Saratoga.
Yep.
Grab a bite to eat and roll right into the first at Del Mar. I mean, that's about as and. You know, and Saturday, do you guys get Saturday off, or you still have to get up and go to work tomorrow?
No. It's the off season, buddy. I'm gonna watch the British Open. I tell you what, the wife and kid are out of town, Gary, for the weekend down in Alabama visiting some friends. I will be betting all tracks, watching golf. I'm gonna watch my Dodgers and Manny Machado. I mean, this is a great, great weekend for me.
Plasky's right in that he thinks they should have gotten relief help instead of Machado, but...
Well, don't worry. They're not done yet. They're going to be trading... I think Puig is gone, but that's a whole different story. But we've got action tonight, and we've got a good stakes race with the Oceanitas, where Paradise Woods, sensational winner of last year's Santa Anita Oaks, tried the Derby in that hot pace when it came up sloppy, and she's been trying to find her way. Mandela's trying her on the grass. What are your thoughts on Paradise Woods today, or are you going to try and beat her?
You know, for a filly that I thought was the stone cold good thing in the Kentucky Oaks of her 3-year-old year, she's at kind of she hasn't really went on to bigger and better things since then. I mean, she's ran up against a monster named Unique Bella, and he's trying turf now. He gave her a little feel of the turf on the grass the other day in a workout that she just kind of galloped around there in 53. She's in against with some pretty experienced turf fillies. Pants on Fire, Compelled, Fahern Mura on the bottom, who sent some suicidal fractions in the New York handicap against Four Star Crook and Sister Charlie. She's drawn right, and anything that Pratt gets on, especially on turf, needs to be looked at. But if I go gambling in the race, I might try to beat her, Darren.
Okay. All right. And then for tomorrow, you've already given us in the ninth race, number 10, Roy Waiton, it's Hollendorfer's horse in the ninth, the 10 horse, who's 5-2 on the morning line. The feature is the San Diego handicap. We're going to see, Accelerate, Dr. Doors in there. But what about this, and Sadler trains Accelerate. How good is this Catalina Cruiser, who drew the rail, also trained by John Sadler? And he's stretching him out to a mile to 16th for the first time.
He could win.
Okay.
He could win. He trains terrific. John thinks he might be, John sits with me when his horses train in the morning, and he thinks the horse, he refers to him as possibly my best horse in the barn, and he's got Accelerate in the barn. So, John thinks very highly of this horse, and obviously holds a strong hand in the race. John likes, he doesn't mind putting his horses on the engine, and Accelerate is a sit-off-the-pace type of horse. So from the one hole, I think we know what John might do with this horse. And, I could see this horse winning this race. I could. And I could definitely see him being in front, starting up the backside. Dr. Doar's a nice horse. Obviously, he's won some big races. He did not run well in New York, and he comes back a little quick. Sharp Samurai has been terrific since they put him on the turf. They opted for this spot over the Eddie Reed, which, if he does this on dirt, the older dirt division isn't that strong right now, and would open up a lot of other doors. Accelerate is the horse to beat. That's probably the main contenders in there.
Yeah,
that probably would be the main contenders in there.
If get anywhere near of 8-1 on Catalina Cruiser, that might be worth a gamble.
We're a lot more. One of the many things we have in common, we're a lot more interested in 8-1 on him than 2-1 on Accelerate.
Dang right.
We like betting against weak favorites, and I wouldn't call Accelerate a weak favorite, but still, we like 8-1 better than 2-1. So that's about the way it looks.
Gary, obviously the racing's great top to bottom out there during the Del Mar meet, but is it the 2-year-olds that get you going as much as anything coming into this meet, or is it just the whole Del Mar summer experience.
Or the fish tacos at the Brig.
Well, that too. We were going to get to that. But
swordfish tacos at the Brig. The shredded chicken tacos at Roberto's, especially if you're coming home a little late at night, if you know what I mean. There can be a line there because there's other people coming home late at night, if you know.
Yeah.
No, I like the two-year-olds are you know, I mean, where I have my edge as far as clocking horses, and you just love seeing new talent. And, you know, usually some of the ones I bought out of auction, some of them are here and some of them are back east. But this is where you want to see them, you know, if not, yeah, you want to see them step up and act like they're going to be something. And, the two-year-old racing is that's the thing that I look forward to the most. I mean, you know, the three-year-old racing on the turf is good, but most of the good three-year-olds are dirt horses at this time, and they go back east. So yeah, two-year-old racing is basically what I look forward to most, John.
Gary, do you ever think there'll be a day that Del Mar has a big race for three-year-olds on dirt?
I've talked to Josh Rubenstein about it, and I mean, I don't know how it works out budget-wise and everything, but California's won 10 of the last 15 Triple Crown. 10 of the last 15 Triple Crown races have been won by a horse based in California, and the people of California basically never get to see the horse, you know, during the whole summer because of the way it's set up. I mean, I don't know what you do. I mean, do you take some of the money out of the Pacific Classic and put it for a good three-year-old race? I don't know what, you know, how they crunch numbers to do it, but, you know, nothing against the El Cajon, but that's not going to make a good three-year-old that's competed in the Triple Crown stay here when there's races like the Haskell and the Travers and, you know, it's back east. You know, it's not going to.
Yeah, and it might just be too tough to compete with those races, too.
It might be, but, I mean, you put up a 753-year-old race here. I mean, Baffert's like everyone else. He doesn't really like to shift, but I mean, pretty much when you have the kind of 3-year-olds that he's had, you got to. You have to, you know? I don't know. You know, I mean, I wish they would, but I don't know the finances of the whole thing. I've mentioned something to Josh about it. I'd really like to see them train down here 10 months a year. I know they can't during the 2 months of the fair, but I'd really like to see them train down here. I'd move down here if I could, you know? I mean, it's I like it that much. And I know a lot. I know Baffert and O'Neill and Mandel and a lot of people would come down here and train their horses. But, you know, there's politics involved with that too. But, it's a great place. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you guys. I'm watching a race from Gulfstream. My man Steve Caceres isn't going to get there. He's going to run second. But, you know, I can look out and I see the ocean, and there's some guys out there just with their surfboards and not without a care in the world. So, I mean, yeah, it's a great place. Yeah, it is. But, I mean,
Well, you're making me want to get back there right now, man. We had golf ball size hail this afternoon.
Where did you choose to propose to your wife at? On the beach at Del Mar?
I did. Mm-hmm. Right there in Solana
Beach.
Probably
because of that. That's probably the reason she said yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking that might have been the closer right there.
I always did that because you know I can always go back to my wife and say, hey, let's go back to that place where we got engaged.
Mm.
it just so happens to be during the month of July or August when there's racing
going
on.
Make it an annual thing.
Yeah, so.
If it was that or Detroit Airport and Del Mar Beach won, right, or something like that.
Yeah, it was Del Mar Beach, slight edge. Yeah. Well, good luck this weekend. Thanks for the visit, as always, and always some valuable information. I know the listeners enjoy it. And have a great few weeks down there at the Seaside Oval.
Yeah, I have a two-year-old I bought from my long-term client, Mr. House, Mike House, that's hopefully going to run down here named Gumtree Lane that acts okay. And I have
who's the trainer?
Phil D'Amato's training him.
Yep.
And on August 11th, hopefully, four-star Crook will run into Beverly D. And the next day, another horse that I bought for my buddy Mike Dubb is aiming for the Sanford named Call Paul that broke his maiden at Delaware like a good horse and got an 8 3/4 on the Ragazin. So, yeah, we got some...
You're busy.
We got some things to look forward to this summer other than just Roberto's and the Pompos. Yeah.
Well, good luck down there. And with those horses, we're going to switch coasts now. We're going to go actually not to a coast, but we're going to go to upstate New York with our man Steve Bick. So,
tell Bick I said hi and try to bring Adger out here. Adger, he'd like Delmar.
He doesn't have a good gait right now. He's got a bad wheel. He injured it at Forecastle last weekend. And,
yep.
But we'll get him out there. So, all right, Gary. Thank you, pal.
You guys have a good day.
All right,
you
too. All right, Gary Young, the one and only. I mean, he never gets old.
No.
Bloodstock agent extraordinaire, he's private clocker,
unbelievable.
And you know, we go from him to the other great. I like to refer to him as the mayor of Saratoga Springs, Steve Bick. How are you, pal?
I think there's a recount going on the mayoral election.
Oh yeah, who's also attracting votes?
Well, Andy Serling, of course. depending on the vote, they may either ride him out on a rail or make him mayor. It's hard to know. Andy's like a human weather vane.
Oh, this is great. So Steve Bick, he's with At the Races with Steve Bick. You can hear it on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Monday through Friday from 9 until noon, and he makes his year-round residence up in Saratoga Springs. So there's nobody better to have on to preview this meet. What makes Saratoga so special for you?
Well, there's the unique historic presence of the track and the continuity that's offered, that really only a handful of places, Churchill being probably, you know, the closest, you know, going back to the Civil War. How do you beat that for majesty and pageantry and the game's history? And what's unique is there may have been a few ebbs during the run of Saratoga, notably in the late 50s, early 60s, there's some uncertainty about the longevity and whether Saratoga would be maintained. But for the most part, the quality of the racing was at a high level immediately, and that has been sustained. And the whole vacation aura of Saratoga, the gaming that was here, the casinos and the Diamond Jim Brady era, and so much of what Saratoga's lore includes adds to the ambiance, and really the growth of the city itself in the last 25 years is a new chapter, and the ongoing pleasure that people take in coming here and making annual pilgrimages, whether they come for a day, whether they come for a week, or for the whole meet. And just the place just has such a wonderful atmosphere. Everybody is here to enjoy racing. Anybody you run into downtown and at your hotel, at the restaurants, everybody's got a single interest. And for that reason, it drips with racing and with horseplay and everything about it. It just screams horse racing, and there's only a handful of places where that really exists to this degree. Certainly the Ville is a place, and Lexington too, and I would say Oaklawn. I mean, other than that, where do you have this kind of atmosphere? And the answer is few other places.
I think it was Red Smith's line about you to get to Saratoga, you take a right on Union Avenue and go back 100 years, something like that. It's just there's just no place quite like it. Just the aura surrounding it, and again, just I mean, it just drips everywhere you go.
Yeah, very much, very much. And I quoted
And I quoted Red myself this morning, in fact, opening the show on opening day. And already people are counting down, 39 days left. It's at a premium. It goes by quickly, and everybody relishes every opportunity to either visit or to stay here.
This is a fabulous time of year. And, you know, we had Gary Young on talking about Del Mar. Del Mar is a personal favorite for me as a native Southern Californian who grew up there. I love that weather, the atmosphere, the beach. But whenever you have a conversation about which is better, unquestionably the best racing in America is at Saratoga. Talk a little bit about the racing program up there with, you know, from the two-year-olds to the lucrative stakes to the Travers. I mean, it's such a tremendous few weeks.
Exactly. And there's standards. Even today, the two-year-old stake, the Schuylerville for the Phillies, it was 100th running today. And everything is the 100th, the 120th, the 150th. It's the same kind of thing that you enjoy there with the Clark and with the Derby. When you have that as the backdrop, it adds, you know, just such a special feel to each of the stakes, and they become, you know, they become targets for owners and breeders and outfits, and for that reason, you invariably get, you know, historic matchups. You know, we lost Manny Kaiser this week, mm-hmm. and you think about Jaipur and Raidan in 1962, and all the different special moments that have, you know, that have kind of just organically bubbled to the surface because of the quality of the stakes and the fact that everybody in racing wants to win these kinds of races, whether it's the Whitney, the Travers, the Test, the former King's Bishop, now the Allen Jerkins. You know, whatever you look at here, the grade ones, I mean, to have this many grade ones in 6.5 weeks, that, you know, says a lot about what happens here. You talk about the two-year-old races, everybody wants to bring their good young horse here, mm-hmm. and they want to win, and especially maiden races, stake races like today, Jack Oxley and Mark Cassie winning with Catherine the Great today in the Schuylerville to kick the season off. So all of the, you know, all of the logical moments that dot the calendar, they basically feed onto themselves, and it's very organic. That's probably the best part of it.
And the two-year-old filly race earlier today, you talk about, you know, the Churchill Downs Racing Club desperately wanted to win, and they wanted to win at Saratoga, but they knew they'd be running into some bears. And, of course, Asmussen unveils Lyrical Lady, who wins comfortably, but She's Got It All, who was a big price, ran a very good second for the Churchill Downs Racing Club. But these folks want to win there, Steve, and the other thing I love about Saratoga, you never know who's going to show up on an overnight. And a shining example is tomorrow's third race, this allowance optional claiming race, going 7/8 of a mile, which, oh yeah, drew awesome slew against the comebacking Rally Cry. I mean, this is a tremendous race tomorrow.
Exactly. You have third-level allowances, which you don't get too many of, you know, regular year-in, year-out racing. You'll have expensive, even the high-level, even the high-level claiming, 62.5s and 80,000 and $100,000 claimers. You get those up here. At every, you know, even the cheaper races, which these days are things like 25 non-winners of twos, even a race like that ends up having full fields and, you know, being very competitive, and it's just everything you want as a horse player is on display on a daily basis.
We've had, you know, you're going to have a number of appearances in the winner's circle from Todd Pletcher and Chad Brown. They're loaded for bear once again. I'm sure you've had some folks on your radio show talking about some of the young horses to keep an eye on, but it sounds as if Pletcher has a pretty good group this year. I guess he's averaged. I read that Dave Grenning had an article in the Daily Racing Forum where he said Pletcher's averaged 15 two-year-old winners at the Spa over the last seven seasons. Wow. That's a remarkable feat, and I guess Pletcher's already won 15 two-year-old races this year. Now, he flopped with the favorite in the maiden special weight today, but who have you gotten any vibe as to some of the top youngsters that our listeners might be able to keep an eye on out there?
As opposed to specific names, I think you look at Barnes, mm-hmm. and you just expect that there's going to be a regular parade of horses that come out of certain outfits. And you saw the hint of it today, and certainly, Kentucky-based players, I think, are going to gravitate toward a few, very familiar names. And Steve Asmussen has got just an embarrassment of riches. He's going to bring out, I think, layers and layers of two-year-olds. Brad Cox is primed to have a big meet as well. I think you're going to see a lot of Brad Cox success. Then there's some other outfits you mentioned. Dave's piece, he was on with me yesterday, and we kind of went through some of the highlights. You know that Pletcher and Chad Brown are going to beat the drum, but I would also respect everything that Cassie is sending. I mean, today, that win by Catherine DeGray today, I mean, that was
big.
That was very impressive. I mean, considering that she had won her two races in the slop, which then leads you to kind of not really know what you're going to get on a fast, dry track, and the fact that she had to break from inside. And I think the track was a little slick. She went 109.
Mm-hmm.
She was tremendous. She was the fastest on figs coming in, and ran off. And she was being pursued and certainly had company and drew off. I was really impressed. And Cassie, I know, has got a hatful. He talked with me last week when I came back from vacation, and we talked about the Queen's Plate win from Wonder Godot. And we hit about half a dozen of his two-year-olds that he expects to run up here. And so I would think, as I said, the Kentucky people that were watching horses working out at Churchill and in Lexington, too, with Ben Colebrook, another Kentucky-based outfit that seems prime with just a fairly narrow band of horses. I think they're all going to do well. Brian Lynch, I think, has got at least 3-4 two-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Hell, I've got 3 2-year-olds. my own. Siaka.
With Siaka, right?
Yep. I got a look at the lucky named Kid Chocolate, who's going to be a two-turn horse. And then we got two Courageous Cat fillies, Corporal Magdalena and Minute Mouse.
It's always exciting when you have the young horses. You mentioned the Kentucky contingent. I know I'd like to hear from the other guys in the room with John and KK. By the way, it's KK's birthday.
Then there's only one thing we can do.
We ready?
Fly, Eagles, Fly.
Fly, Eagles, Fly, right?
No, we don't need to hear that. It's way too early for Fly, Eagles, Fly.
But given the
never
fact...
too early.
No.
Given the fact that he was crushed in the late pick five
he got ran down by Joe Sharp. He needed what was it, Dark Vader or whatever his name was? I don't know.
Cerise
Dark Horse. Energy.
Yeah, Dark Energy.
Dark Energy.
Well, you just lifted his spirits after that with the mention of Fly, Eagles, Fly.
But I was alluding to, I know that... The three of us, I thought this was the two-year-old race of the meet, was Strike Silver beating Nitrous, and we get to see both of them tomorrow at Saratoga. Nitrous for Asmussen was the runner-up, who's the favorite in the sixth race tomorrow, attempting to break his maiden. And then Silver or Strike Silver is one of the top contenders in the two-year-old stake tomorrow.
Yeah, and it was interesting when we sat next to... I watched the race with Mark Cassie, and he was like, I have a really nice horse, but I don't think he's quite ready to go first time out. And to see what that race was able to produce...
Fast, fast race.
Very fast. So it'll be a good race. And we had Ben Colebrook on our show the other week, and he talked about Nick's Go, who was a very nice winner at Ellis Park. I don't know if he's good enough with the rest of this field, but he talked very highly of this colt.
Well, those out-of-town horses that come from less less heralded connections, or you mentioned an Ellis runner, you know, certainly Ken McPeak and Dale Romans and even Buff Bradley have shown up with Ellis Park graduates here. And you look at a horse, even that finished third today, the filly, the horse that Cal Lynch brought up from Laurel. Congrats, Cal. Mm-hmm. And that horse, you know, that type has done well historically early on in the meet. Maybe not at the end of the meet when we go 7 furlongs in the spinaway and the hopeful, but you know, certainly when you start to mix and match regions of the country, and you know, you get the Marylanders, and of course now with the change in the calendar and landscape down in Florida, you know, here's a horse like Catherine the Great who, you know, came out of Gulfstream. That's a recent phenomenon for us here at Saratoga, to have horses come up from Gulfstream to compete. So you keep your eye open for any, you know, for anything that's a little bit unusual, because that is something historically we've seen here. The years ago when the Rockingham Shipper, when I first started coming to Saratoga in the 90s, we'd be watching for him to come out of New Hampshire, out of the Rock. And you know, guys like Mikey Yarrow and Cash Asakamopoulos and, you know, those old New England outfits, they'd roll into Saratoga and they'd put one over. So nothing's better than that around here.
We've got tons of stakes action tomorrow with the Sanford and the Diana, and then on Sunday the Coaching Club American Oaks. Do you have us a weekend winner, something that the listeners might be able to zero in on over Saturday or Sunday?
Well, you know, obviously a race like the Oaks, where Monomoy Girl feels like she's got a little bit of a tactical edge on Midnight Bisou. As it happens, I saw Midnight Bisou today when I came on track after I did the show. I did the show from home today and then headed over. And when I went to go visit the barn and go, you got to teach your two-year-olds how to eat carrots. They don't, it's not something that they aren't born eating carrots. You have to sort of wean them onto carrots. But Midnight Bisou was walking back after some schooling, and she looked terrific.
Huh.
Monomoy Girl, I think, is a little bit of an edge on her. That group is unbelievable. To have five horses like that, when you've got a Monomoy and a Midnight Bisou, and then three other stake runners of the quality of Eskimo Kisses and Geo Game, and you've got what? You got two of them are grade one placed, and one's a grade two winner. The other three horses. That's a race, basically, to kind of watch and enjoy. I'm going to keep beating the drum on the Kentucky contingent. How about Proctor's Ledge?
Yep.
The lone upset contender in the Diana to stop Chad Brown. I mean, Chad has won three of the last four of the Dianas, but you know, you look at Proctor's Ledge, she loves it up here. You want to go a little horse for course, that works just as well here as anywhere else. And she's 2 for 2. I'll lean on, and there's a Boston connection. This is Mosley and Proctor's Ledge. So I don't know if I go to the bank, because dealing with Chad is very tough in these parts. But
yeah.
I have been a big Proctor's Ledge fan from day one.
Yeah, for what it's worth, ran into the assistant trainer for Brendan Walsh the other day, and he said the breeze was absolutely phenomenal at Keeneland, and he's worried about going up against the Chads, but they like their chances. And that was an unsolicited tout. So, that's a good one to get on. Proctor's Ledge tomorrow in the Diana. So, Steve, we appreciate the visit as always. Have a great time. I'm actually going to come up there Whitney weekend, so I look forward to seeing you. Steph's going to join me, so we'll have a good time and find a good spot to eat. Maybe we'll grab some dinner.
Without fail. And I'm looking forward to the return trip myself, coming back for Breeders' Cup. And I'm thrilled that you're coming back to the spa. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
I want you to get him dressed for the racetrack at Saratoga, man. You're going, I want to see
Darren Rogers'
Saratoga Splendor.
I'm a paddock guy.
No tie.
Shorts and a polo.
All right.
So, all right, Steve, thank you again, pal.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Steve Bick from At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM. previewing Saratoga. We had Gary Young on from Del Mar, private clocker extraordinaire. Got a lot of information, a lot of horses to I was writing down feverishly. I got to transcribe my notes. But some horses to gamble.
And I think our Ben Colebrook horse, the maiden heels, she's coming up.
She ran Sunday.
She did.
She ran was second in quotes. I think she's going to have to be second time. She took a lot of money and ran up the track, quite honestly.
Well, you can always try again.
More times than not, it pays to listen to Inside Churchill Downs.
And but, we'll always have Limousine Liberal.
We'll always have Limousine Liberal. We got Reds baseball coming up at the top of the hour. So, oh man, Reds Pirates. What are the Reds? 10 games under .500 now. Still trying to climb out of the cellar, but yeah, but they've been hot. They've been hot in it. So, how much time we got? I mean, we're ready. We're 30 seconds. Yeah, we're ready to wrap. So,
man, I need to get to Cincinnati before the Reds start.
Got first race coming up at Del Mar. Don't forget, they've got racing there this evening. Get pad your bankroll for tomorrow, and then
tremendous racing
at Ellis Park.
And happy birthday, KK.
Watch our Eagles fly.
And happy vacation, KK.
Yeah, you won't hear me the next couple of weeks on this show.
Yeah, he's going to be off for a couple of weeks, and this song is killing me. So, for John Asher and Kevin Kirstein, I'm Darren Rogers, and thanks to Nick Valvano. Thanks for listening to Inside Churchill Downs on ESPN 680 105.7.